Last time we discussed the famous tshuva of the Devar Shmuel, which on some level, whether it's based on the actual tshuva or based on principles or similar principles reflected in the tshuva, served as the basis of what seems to have been the practice in many communities of using or creating community Erevin that included areas that were essentially karpefos that otherwise you would have assumed would have posed a problem of Zerayim, Mevatlin, and Sadira. And we, in analyzing the Devar Shmuel, noted that the Devar Shmuel, in the thrust of his argument, seems to make two different points, which were understood differently by some of the later Achronim, and it's somewhat unclear as to whether both of those points need to be in place in order to rely on Deus Hedder. So again, the first point that he made was in the context of a walled city, the open area is mitzar legabi kol ha'ir. It's relatively small compared to the entire city. Levatel godel hekaf dirasa in such a way that it shouldn't be mevatel the hekaf dirasa. So the Chacham Tzvi understood that this Rav Shmuel's point is based on the suffix of the rush. The rush is suffix as to whether the din of zrayim mevatel sadira applies only to karpev, or doesn't apply to a chaser as well. And the Chacham Tzvi's analysis that even if it's a suffix when it comes to chaser, it could be that an ear would be more pashut, that Zerayim did not pose a problem to Mevatel Dira, perhaps because the strength of the Dira in an ear is so great that the threshold to be Mevatel, that heck of a Dira, is much higher. However, as we noted, there's no explicit reference in that line of the Rosh Shmuel himself to such a question and in that analysis. Yeah.
So the Chacham Tzvi is specifically because like the walled city or really any city?
Lav Dafka. The emphasis isn't on the wall. But literally, what the Rosh Shmuel says is that it's a small area. So the Aruch HaShulchan, in his presentation, zeroes in at that point, doesn't quote the line of the Devar Shmuel, but he says that maybe the common practice to be makel on this shayla is for that very reason. Se'if katan kaf aleph, v'ulai be'ruvei kol ha'ir v'shaf ha'tchak yesh lismah kalzeh, that maybe we could be makel to rely on these kulas v'shaf ha'tchak, the gam ulai legabe ir mikri miuta de miuta, and maybe relative to the entire city, the area in question is a miuta de miuta. It's a very small area, so it's unreasonable to assume that the existence of a very small area could be mevatel the hekef of the entire city. Yata yesh ein manichem lato tzivus haPesach v'luchia gavna yesh acholus v'kulei hay v'ulai v'sarchion that. Some people are not machmir to close up that area through the Pesach, so maybe there's what to rely on with Sarafi, and is definitely not excited about this hat there, but he thinks that could be the strongest basis for Kula is the fact that the area in question is a relatively small portion of the entire city. The way the Morixia presents this argument, and more see in the beginning of Yaakov and the beginning of Simon Shin and Ches, is that when it comes to a regular generic karpef, so the classic case of Zerayim Mevatel Sadira is where you have a karpef, or you have a an open area, and you're enclosing that area. So that enclosure, which was essentially for the purpose of enclosing that karpef, would be subject to Zerayim Mevatel Sadira. That hekef could be a batel by the presence of Zerayim. But when it comes to an entire city or a large area, so then when you're makif that area, your intention in being makif is not to be makif dafka that karpet, your intention is to be makif a larger area. So the fact that you are now planting, you have seeds or Zerayim in that area, isn't mevatel the entire hekef. Okay. And The second point of the Dvar Shmuel was, in his specific context, we were talking about a walled city where there were open areas along the walls which were intentionally left as such for the armies to congregate or for some strategic purpose. And some of the later Achronim interpret this more broadly to be referring to anything that is liyipui ha'ir, anything that is for the benefit of the city, for the either the beauty of the city or any functional benefit of the city, would not be constrained by Zrayim Bevalin es Hadira, which we saw evidence for in the Me'iri in our sugya. So again, that's a question whether within the Dvar Shmuel do you need both of these nekudas. If we're going to emphasize the miyuta as the Yochai Shochan does, the fact that it's a small part of the city, a relatively small part of the city, even if it's Yotzer Beis Hasayim, even if it's much more than Beis Hasayim, but is that enough that it's a small part of the city, even if it's an area that has absolutely no utility for the city, an area that's just a swamp or a overgrown forest brush where no one's going to walk through? Or does it also have to have a function, liyipui ha'ir, or some benefit for the city, such that even if it's a small area, that in of itself wouldn't be enough to create a kula? Yeah?
Do we have like a set measurement for me to do it,
though? No, I don't think so. So, whatever the appearance is. And then if it's half of the city, so then you can call them the Miyuta. It could be 10% of the Zohar, not Miyuta the Miyuta. Expanding factor. There's a Shul, the Divrei Malkiel, the Lam Jerav, which was originally included as part of a correspondence regarding the Erev in Odessa in the 1890s. We actually quoted this Divrei Malkiel earlier for a different reason in our discussion in the Fulash. But there are a number of tshuvas written about the Odessa Erev that were collected in a work called Tikkun Erev, published in the 1890s, written to Rabbi Chernovitz, who was the rabbi of Odessa. And this tshuva is reprinted in Divrei Malkiel, Chelek Dalet Simen Gimel. Chelek Dalet Simen Gimel. So the Divrei Malkiel starts off by questioning whether you can really rely on the Dvar Shmuel. He assumes initially, the way the Chachma Tzvi did, that the Iker premise of the Dvar Shmuel is the suffix of the Rush when it comes to a Chatzer. So as it is, we're mapping that in Shulchan Aruch, so he's not convinced how we have the right to be Mako on this Shaila. But then he suggests another rationale that could potentially lead to a kula. He's bothered just in working through the sugya. First of all, he notes, as we showed him to, Valamar, the Ramban, that the Rif doesn't have the halacha of Zerah Mevala Mesadira. The Rif doesn't quote halacha, this din of Zerah Mevala Mesadira. Okay. And he's bothered, according to Rashi, within the Mishnah Daf Kaf Gimel, Yehuda ben Bava, that what should emerge lahalacha according to Rabbi Kiva, who argues on Yehuda ben Bava, is that a shomira nadira could be effective even for an area that the others would be based on Sayim. So how does that square with saying Zeram Nevalim is Adira? That what does it help to put in a Shomira and a Beis Dira in an area of Beis Hasayim if Zeram Nevalim is Adira? Yeah?
Why do we assume the Zeram are there?
He assumes that that din of Shomira and Beis Dira helping will help even if there are Zeram. That the Mishnah itself says it doesn't seem to be restricted to any particular case. If you have an area that's a carpet, if you put in a shomira, that's going to help. But if it's al masadira, maybe that shouldn't help. That's part of the question that he poses. Using that is part of the impetus, but it could be that the svara would hold independently. He comes up with the following argument. There's a difference between where the Zra'im precede the Hekef and where the Hekef precedes the Zra'im. So he says as follows. That if you're ready makif an area of a dira, and then you plant Zra'im, so those Zra'im are going to be mevatel lehekef. So you started off with the Hekef with dira. Fine. The hookah with dira works in a carpet. And then you plant Zra'im, so now that you planted the Zra'im, that's going to be mevatel the mechitzas. Because it's not the norm to plant in an area that's mukaf mechitzas. The fact that you're planting somehow indicates a change of heart about the fact that you were initially makif v'dira. Initially you're makif v'dira, now you're changing your mind, and now you're planting Zra'im. However, if the Zra'im were there first, and then you're makif the area v'dira, now we don't say Zra'im v'valim is adira. The Zra'im were there, but I intentionally now am makif the area including the Zra'im v'dira, so my intent is that this should be designated as an area that is Ladira. So he says, in such a case, you have a city. There's Ram already there. The gardens, the parks, whatever carpe poses the problem is there. And now he makes the entire city, including that area, so then that hekif is not compromised by this Ram, because I'm intentionally indicating that I want this area to be designated Lidira, and the Zra'im are not going to pose a problem. So therefore he says that according to his analysis, in your standard urban situation where you already have the gardens, the Zra'im, the grass, and now you want to create an area, if you makif that area, that's going to be fine, and then that will create a hetzer tiltil, perhaps even in the garden themselves, although that may be subject to other details. Judah.
That last year, a case though, that aren't there sometimes parks that are added to cities?
So he's talking about a situation where the parks were already there. If you're going to add a park, so then according to this, that won't help.
Right.
And then you'd have the cheshbon, what park was there, what park was added later, what's Rambam added later. So in the we referenced previously Rabbi Noble's tshuva about the Frankfurt Erev, the Rav of the non-Hirshian Kehila in Frankfurt, who put up an Erev around the beginning of the 20th century. So when we quoted it last time, we noted that the thrust of his argument has nothing to do with Rishis HaRabim, that he assumes that the Dabar Pashut isn't a problem, and he deals with certain technical issues. He can use a telegraph as a Tzuris HaPesach. And one of the issues that he addresses is carpet. So he has the same suggestion as the Divrei Malkiel. I'm not sure when Rabbi Noble's tshuva was written. The Divrei Malkiel's tshuva was written, I think, in the 1890s. And if you look in the tshuva's Malami Lahoil, W.C. Hoffman, Simon, Samachay, so there he's talking about building an Erev in Fulda. Some of you may know Rabbi Fulda, so Zygazon, you should have a full shlema of the teachings here in Yeshiva. So Rabbi Fulda is from Fulda.
Fulda in Germany.
Fulda in Germany. Is the town of Fulda. Rabbi Fulda's father, family was involved in the Rabbanus of Fulda. They took the name Fulda when they came to Fulda from whatever other country because they were foreigners and they took the name. So the Malami Lahoil, that's the Hoffman, has a tshuva about the Erev in Fulda, and the tshuva is about carpet fishes. So there he quotes that Rabbi Noble, in the tshuva which is reprinted in the Masada Cook volume of Rabbi Noble Tzavim, had this argument that there's a difference between whether the Zra'im come first or the Hekef come first. And then the Malami Lahoil quotes that the Rabbi Krieger, who wrote the Kuntras against Rabbi Noble and Dir Shalom Emes, took issue with Rabbi Noble that this was a phenomenal Lechidish and no basis. But those who often write said he didn't realize that the Divrei Malkiel said it first. It wasn't Rabbi Noble didn't make it up, or maybe he made up independently. But if you think that the local rabbi in Frankfurt is not reliable, that the Lumja Rav, who everyone agrees is reliable, said the same thing. But Rabbi Noble writes in his essay over there that he enacted in Frankfurt, the basis of allowing the Erev, even though there were carpifos, even though there were these gardens and parks, is the fact that the Hekev came first. But because of the possibility that there may be Zrayim that are added to the city subsequent to the Hekev, so he made sure that every year they would take down a 10 amma stretch of the Eruv, of Tzuras HaPesach, and that way you're Mevatel Hekev and you're creating the Hekev again. So that would solve the problem in case there are other Zrayim that were added to the city in the past year.
So is this argument also based off analogy with the water? Because I noticed the Lashon was like, my nichnas into the area.
Right.
So would that...
Yeah, so some are, I think the, I think the Mayor Irik has that idea, too, the Mayor Yosher.
Okay.
He doesn't have this thing with the Dibram. Well, okay, but I think he makes that point in the context of Mayim.
Okay. Also, for what happens if like a park gets changed? I mean, like Central Park was, I think, landscaped beforehand, but then was...
Farmland.
But then it was like altered.
Yeah.
And like different trees were planted there, but mm-hmm. there was always plants there.
Right.
So would that necessitate a reenacting of the era then?
Probably not, if they're just different flavors of Zrayim. Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, because either way.
Okay.
Not sure. Avi.
What would it then be if, let's say, a builder takes a couple of homes mm-hmm. and knocks them down, and the process puts up a safety wall preventing
them
from falling
into
the building site within an area? Would that be
without
the air
in
the carpet?
Because now people don't have access to that area. Then the Sefer, the author of the Kiryas Ariel, which is a Sefer on Chumim, I think it's a Kiryas Ariel, it's another Sefer on Erevin that Rabbi Willig is a big fan of. I think it's called Machmei Yisrael. I have it in my office, but I think it's called Machmei Yisrael. So he talked about this point. And he quotes from, I think, Rabbi Yashin, maybe, but I could be wrong. He quotes someone who makes a Sa'ara that maybe if you have a construction site, which is essentially off limits to anyone other than the people doing the work, maybe that would constitute a carpe and potentially a problem. How would you get around it? If it is a problem, so then if you were to be makif that area itself, so then that would section it off. That itself isn't so pashut, but we might generally assume that way, meaning if you have a carpet in the city, so you don't want that carpet to interfere with the hekev tilta for the entire city, so let's say you're makif that carpet for Tzuras HaPesach. So that hekev around the carpet won't help to be metaltel in the carpet, because that's not hukav v'dira. So can it still help for the area around it? So we generally assume that it would help the area around it. It won't get ahead to tilt to one side, but it'll cordon off the area to allow for the head to tilt around it. That's not Pashut. But that's I think how we generally assume Lamaisa.
Maybe they'll put off the walls, but I'll be saying they generally will.
If they wall it off, so then
they usually don't want anyone coming in, so they
right.
put off their own.
Right, it would have to be halakhically accepted Lafisa, but presumably it will be otherwise it wouldn't serve their own purpose.
I mean, even
right.
what we have over here in front of
right.
our building, those are lovered walls, but they're walls nonetheless, no? The little metal barriers.
I haven't paid attention, but...
When you right, walk out of this side...
No, I know they're there, I just hadn't...
So those are Pesach High, and they
right.
connect?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just a question, if I can.
Yes.
In terms of taking down the Erev once every year...
Yeah.
That seems to be a chumrah. It seems to be a nice chumrah, but if you really believe that that's the Yehuva,
right.
then... You can't necessarily time it for every new part that
yes,
built.
I didn't say Lee Esther says. You did a Lee Esther says, just in case. Yeah, later. Page 170. And everyone will live happily ever after. Okay. In the tshuva of Aaron Gordon, reprinted in the Kol Tzvi, that the 1905 Lo Recite Erev. One of his objections to the Shep Sarov's Erev, page 46 of the Kol Tzvi, He was not such a fan of the Bar Shmuel, it looks like. He writes that there are parks. So it's true, as the Shepser Rav wrote in Eir V'Hotzah, that the parks have mechitzas around them. That should solve the problem. But the problem is that the mechitzas have pirtzos, and they don't have Sirtza Pesach, and they don't have Adelas. And he writes the pirtzos, the Chol Orech Ha'ir. So they're big pirtzos, yeser miyeser. And he saw one park where the pirtza is right, that people told him that there's one very big park with very wide pirtzos, and the park is in the middle of the city, and it opens up into all the adjacent streets. Central Park was not on the Lower East Side, as I checked. Well, that wouldn't be a problem. The Eruv here is only on the Lower East Side, so Central Park wouldn't pose a problem to be mapped at the Lower East Side. So there must have been a big park on the Lower East Side, not a Hitzik. So that was part of that whole movement, the parks movement, to create more parks in New York City, because everyone was living on top of each other in the tenements. I don't know how many parks on the Lower East Side, but okay. But it sounds like he wasn't willing to rely on the Dvar Shmuel Udi Ime. So back to what we discussed last time with the drained Pesach duck pond. The president of the left is talking about draining all the swamps. So, again, going back to the Dvar Shmuel, if the Iker is the fact that it's a small area of the city, it's still a small area of the city. But if it has to be Li'ipa Ya'ir, it's arguably not Li'ipa Ya'ir. But it could be there's another Mahalach that perhaps we could be Matir on that basis. And that goes back to the din of Mayim, Sif Yud Aleph. Karpev Yosem Mibes Asayim Shehukaf Ludira, and Nifnisu Bo Mayim, Im Ruim Lishasiya, or as the Rashba says, Lakibus as well, Eim of Alanadira, Afilo Im Hamakam Shinispashtu Sham Yosem Isasayim, Yafilu Haim Amukim Harbe, Vim Einam Ruim Lishasiya, Dinam Kizraim, Vuhu Shiheba Omkam Asara Tvachit. So Mechaber Paskins, that the problem of Mayim Mevalim Esadira, where the Mayim are not royal Tashvish, is where they are 10 Tvachim deep. And the Mishbur writes here in Be'er Halacha, Vuhu Shiheba Omkam Yud Tvachim, that's really a Machlokas Rishonim. Gemara doesn't say explicitly 10 tefachim. The Gemara refers to Omek. So he quotes here, according to the Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh and the Magen Mishnah and the Mashmos of Rashi and the Ritva, in order to be Mevatel Dira, it has to be 10 tefachim deep. However, some Rishonim argue, the Rosh and the Yesh Mefarshim and the Ritva, say, well, when the Gemara says Omkan, it doesn't mean Dafka Omkan, Elam Komam Kari Omkan, but there's no Shear of 10 Tvachim per se. The Mishabura thinks, Roy Lahak Mishalobam Makam Atchak, that if you have an area of Mayim that would be Vatal Dira, even if it's not 10 tefachim deep, you should be machmir shelo b'makom hadachak. In the English Erevin book that we quoted last time, he quotes from Rabbi Heinemann, that when Rabbi Hyman was building the Erev in Baltimore for the first time, he consulted with Ramosha. And Ramosha told him, it sounds like independent of this machlokas you showed him, even if in principle we paskin like the Mechaber, that if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, it doesn't pose a problem, why is that? What's the significance of a sarat tefachim in this context? The significance of a sarat tefachim, he said, is that you could walk through an area of water that's less than 10 tefachim. So it doesn't necessarily interfere with the functionality of that area of the dira. That might have been true at some point in history, where people would be not so reluctant to walk through a body of water that's up to their waist. But nowadays, that's not the norm. So even if you have a body of water that's less than 10 tefachim, no one would, in their right mind, walk through it to get to the other side. So that would be considered not ledira. Less than 3 tefachim, he's not sure about. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes here as well. What's the status of less than 3 tefachim? And Mishnah Berurah thinks less than 3 tefachim, that's Dara Smichta, that's Lavu, that's considered part of the ground. But between 3 and 10 tefachim, Mishnah Berurah says, in any event, it should be Machmir because it's a Machlokas we've shown him, and it should be Machmir Shalom B'Shah Sadkak. And Moshe is quoted by Rabbi Heinemann, saying it sounds like even independently of this Machlokas we've shown him, even if you assume in principle that the Shear of 10 tefachim is operative, but that's the practical thing. That's because up to 10 tefachim, a person could walk through. Nowadays, he wouldn't do that. So you should be machmir on that area as well. Mishnah Berurah writes here in Sifkat and Sadi, V'husheib omka masar tefachim, the pachas miyasar tefachim hava lekitit v'refesh v'alma. That less than 10 tefachim, that's just like mud. Vein cholker mishus atman. And mud is not mevatel dir, it sounds like. Why? Probably also because he'd walk through a certain amount of mud. So that could be relevant to the duck pond. Now it's all full of mud. I haven't gone with a yardstick to see how tall it is, but let's naniach that the mud is 5 fucking deep. So you could argue maybe that's what Mishnah Berurah was talking about here, of Kitid Verapish Ba'alma, because he'd walk through such an area. So just like less than 10 tefachim of water is Mevatel Hekev, and less than 10 tefachim of mud is Mevatel Hekev. But Meidach, nowadays, just like people wouldn't walk through water less than 10 tefachim, and the Mishnah Berurah anyway says he should be Machmer and Alechakila. So who had in? Person wouldn't walk through that degree of mud. So you could theoretically argue this in both directions. Yeah, Avi. Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to ask the point that you're trying to make from the Lower East Side area, and this point. Mm-hmm.
That the Rabbi Aaron Gordon was not willing to be Megal on the base of Bar Shmuel Udine, and one of his objections to 1905 Lower East Side Erev was the existence of parks. Even though parks are the easiest to be Megal about, because they're clearly the Yipa Yair as much as anything. So if you're going to Megal on any of these cases, parks would be the easiest thing to Megal on, and yet Rabbi Gordon was not willing to be Mako on parks, but it's clear in the literature that many of the Achronim in Europe were Mako on parks and the like on the basis of something along the lines of this Dvar Shmuel. The Rosh Hashanah thinks that Lichachila, whatever you could cart, you could block off, you could block off, you should block off. But if it's not really practical, so if an area is Liyipu Yair, a park of the like, then there's what to be make of that if you didn't block it off. As opposed to real brush, or real overgrowth, or real unusable area, that that would pose a bigger problem. Again, if you go with the first part of the Rosh Mul alone, of the small percentage of the city, so then you potentially be maker on that as well, which some contemporary Arabic are. But it's more difficult if it's really a swamp area, brush area, where it serves no function and you can't walk through it. What about cemeteries? That was another of the objections that Rav Schechter had to the old Woodbury area of Bishaito, which has since been fixed. Can you include a cemetery in a Erev, or is that a problem of a carpet which is Mevatel Dira? Dira, generally speaking, is the Dira of the living, not the Dira of the dead. So, So in that English book, he quotes from Ramosha, who was Mahmir on cemeteries, that cemeteries are a carpet and would pose a problem in an Eruv. Rav Yashiv, in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simid Mem Hei, Chelek Aleph Simid Hei, tshuva written to Rav Avner, the Chronam Levracha, suggested that maybe a cemetery is like Ilanos. That just like Ilanos are not Mevatel Dira because people walk and enjoy the shade or use the trees, people also have occasion to walk through a cemetery to visit Kivrei Tzadikim or Kivrei Avos. Sam?
The wooden here, the one that I'm pretty certain I know which one, that's a non-Jewish cemetery. That make a lot of sense why people wouldn't go in and would Schechter say the same thing?
No, it's the same about Jewish cemetery. Okay. That's not the issue. So in the English Erevin book, it suggests, I don't quite understand this, that maybe there's no machlokas for Yashiv or Moshe. Because Moshe is talking about America, and Rav Yashiv is talking about Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, people go to Kibre Tzadikim. In America, we don't have Kibre Tzadikim. So people don't have occasion to go to cemetery. I don't quite understand it. We do have some Kibre Tzadikim, and people go to cemeteries for Kibre Yavos. And Rav Yashiv also talks about Kibre Yavos, not only Kibre Tzadikim. So it does seem that Rav Moshe is Machmir and Rav Yashiv is Mako. Sefer Nesivos HaShabbos, he quotes from the Shuvas Dov Mesharim. I didn't have a chance to look it up inside. Nesivos HaShabbos, Perik Yud Gimel Aram Mem Beis, I think. Yud Gimel Mem Beis, quoting from the Dov Mesharim, Simon Samachay, I guess Chelakal, but again, I didn't see it inside. That maybe if a cemetery has a house for the guard, so then that already makes it into a Dira, and it wouldn't be Mevatel the Hekev.
Again, with these cemeteries, mm-hmm. we've seen that many cemeteries mm-hmm. have their own fence surrounding them.
So if they do, then that's great. But if there's a pier to yes or yes there, then that would have to be plugged up by the Surah Pesach.
So assuming that it's entirely closed, which I think most of them, they even lock them at night.
But if they're open in the daytime, and the gap of the opening is more than necessary, so then that would require
so
a
deeper. And closing the gate at night wouldn't help? The gates close every night. It should be like we're discussing by the loss of the year, that the area is closed by itself.
So that... That goes back to that discussion as to whether the loss requires a Pesach, which we're mocking around. Is also one isn't good enough.
Okay.
But and other related points as well. Okay. Okay, I think we'll stop here. And...